Good morning. I'm Celeste Headlee in with John Hockenberry.
Obama's got a problem.
He's got at least one.
He's going to go before this joint session of Congress next week, Wednesday.
And he's going to use his elocutionary powers.
Going to get specific. And, you know, Alan Lichtman was making a really great point there at the top. You can't wait for 535 members of Congress to take the lead on something because
or agree, for God's
sake.
Exactly. You could be here all year or longer. So we're going to go back to Alan Lichtman. He's a professor of history at American University to talk about what the president might say at this joint session of Congress that will convince them to get on the stick. We've also got Jay Newton Small. She's a Washington reporter for Time magazine. And Jay, let's start with you. Politically, what does Obama need to get across in this speech to the joint session of Congress? What's the essential message he has to deliver?
Essentially, you got to get going here. We've got to get a bill. We've got to get moving. And, you know, obviously things stalled out over the summer. They've had a pretty horrible August. And talks have pretty much come to a standstill. And we're looking at this September 15th deadline where the bipartisan group in the Senate is trying to come to a compromise. And he's sort of just hitting the restart button, essentially.
So is he going to come with a plan, do you think? Is he going to finally step forward and say, okay, here's my plan?
Well, that's the big question. And the part of the problem for the last 7 months, or for the last 5 months at least, has been that he doesn't really have a plan. And all of these groups have been drawing lines in the sand and saying, essentially lobbying him and saying, don't do this, don't do that. And now that he's got all these lines drawn in the sand, they can't get anything done because everyone's, you know, digging in on their position. So he's coming to them and he's going to, I mean, we're told that he's going to give a few more details about what he'd like to see happen. And he's going to emphasize that there is broad agreement on about 80% of the bill, but it's that last 20% that they're just stuck on, and he's going to try and do his best to unstick them, and part of that will involve introducing some new ideas and introducing what his ideas are, finally.
And we suspect that may include getting rid of the public option.
Walking away from some old ideas.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is that what you're hearing, though, just to be clear on that?
Yeah, are you...
Indeed. We've been, for months, the president, even in our interviews with Time magazine, the president's been saying, well, he's been sort of head backing away from it, saying maybe it's not essential. And I think he'll sort of say it's not a deal breaker anymore. It's not something that, you know, has to be in. Otherwise, he's not going to support the bill. But, I mean, at the same time, that could cost him on the left. So he's got to be very careful on how he does this, because there's a progressive caucus in the House of 72 members that have signed a letter saying that if you don't include this public plan, we're never going to vote for the bill. So he has to find a way to do this that doesn't totally alienate his left flank.
Well, you know, Jay, we were talking with Russ Feingold yesterday of Wisconsin. It was his understanding that the president actually was going to endorse a public option. So he's still all over the map on this, it seems.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation out there.
That's Jay Newton Small. She's a Washington reporter for Time magazine. We're also joined by Alan Lichtman. And Alan, historically, is this a completely unprecedented move, this idea of going to the Congress saying, I want health care reform, go?
Absolutely not unprecedented. Almost to the day 16 years ago, Bill Clinton did much the same thing, going to the Congress and trying to convince them to adopt his health care plan. Addresses to joint sessions of Congress.
But he brought a plan to them and said...
He brought a plan and was a little bit, you know, a little bit too big and too complex. You know, he clunked down that 1,200-page plan after his wife had formulated it kind of in secret behind closed doors. And that was what Obama was trying to avoid. He was fighting the last war. He didn't want to come up with a detailed plan that everyone could shoot down. The problem is, without a plan, then anyone can say anything they want about it. It's got, you know, death panels. It's going to cost $10 trillion. It's going to be socialized medicine. And that's hard to refute when you don't have a plan. And here's the dilemma on health care. Everyone agrees there should be reform, but you really can't get agreement on any one plan. Any one plan could be shot down. So here's what has got to happen. The president has got to come up with some kind of plan, and the members of Congress have got to zip their lips and zip their egos and do one thing and one thing
only. They're so good at that.
That'll work.
Plan through.
Yeah. That'll work. Yeah, that'll definitely work. But, Alan, let's take a longer historical view here. I mean, you alluded to it at the top. Congress isn't really good at serious social legislation. They focus more on symbolic resolutions and spending a lot of time in the weeds and on the budget, doing the earmarks kind of game. This broad policy strokes without clear direction from the president is almost impossible for Congress to do anymore. It hasn't been since Johnson that we've had anything serious come directly out of Congress.
And, of course, Johnson was a master at working the Congress. You know, the Johnson treatment is still unparalleled in U.S. history. And absolutely, you cannot have something like this come out of the Congress. There are just too many competing interests, too much of the push and the pull with 535 people working. That's why you have five or six different versions of this, even right now, circulating through the U.S. Senate. And let's also not forget there's hard politics involved in this. And we saw that when the Clinton health care plan was shot down in 1993, 1994. That led to the Republican revival and takeover of the Congress, both houses, for the first time since 1946. And that's really what this is about to a great extent on the part of the Republicans. They want to plant the same kind of big defeat on Barack Obama that they planted on Bill Clinton and use this as a revival of the Republican Party. They're not especially
interested in
healthcare. But
Gingrich proved in 94 that the Republicans couldn't rule from Congress any better than the Democrats.
They could not rule from Congress, but you know, they certainly could expand and increase their power, and
right,
that's really what this is all about here. And unless the Democrats realize that and pull together, we are going to have a replay of 16 years ago.
So, Jay Newton Small, Washington reporter for Time Magazine, we've talked about this a lot. Many people have suggested that the Republicans are going to oppose any plan for health care reform that comes out of Obama's office or that Obama might sign simply to deliver a big defeat to President Barack Obama. But is there any word that they at some point will break on the hard politics that they're going to deliver, that they've already delivered a defeat to him in terms of his declining approval ratings, and eventually they're going to give?
Well, it's certainly the three Republicans that have been working with Obama in the Senate, which would be, four essentially, but the Olympia Snowe from Maine and Mike Enzi from Wyoming and Chuck Grassley from Iowa have been under enormous pressure from their leadership not to make a deal, not to let Obama claim the sort of bipartisan mantle in the Senate. There's been huge pressure. There was a talk of, taking away chairmanships, taking away sort of ranking memberships on committees and really sort of saying don't give him this victory. So certainly the Republicans are trying to be unified in their opposition to Obama on this bill and sort of claiming that this is just socialized medicine, that this is, going to be damaging to the country and trying to impede him and force him to go it alone. Now, the danger is if he does decide to go it alone and says, fine, we're going to give up on any kind of hope of a bipartisan bill. We're going to push it through this budget mechanism called reconciliation, which only requires 51 votes. Then he actually gets it done and it's popular by the time, the next elections come around, then they'll lose. And then Obama can say, look, we pushed through universal health care, something that clearly in polls most Americans do want, essentially, still. And we did it alone. We did it, in the face of opposition, almost united Republican opposition. But frankly, the Democrats would prefer at this point to still have a bipartisan bill because there is, it's a huge political risk to shoulder on your own. And there's a lot of problems with reconciliation. It only lasts 5 years and it's very complicated. So the White House is still committed to trying to get something done on a bipartisan basis at this point.
But Chuck Schumer on the left in the Democratic Party has suggested that if they don't get something by September 15th, that he will organize or mobilize a plan to go it alone to do a partisan vote on health care reform and have the Republicans out in the cold. Does anybody take that threat seriously?
People take that threat absolutely seriously. And it's for a long time, it's been out there, that threat of if you don't come along, if we don't get a deal, then we're just going to go it alone. They prefer not to. They've said this all along, but they're increasingly looking at Plan B, this sort of going it alone and doing it themselves, because it's just impossible to leave these talks out there any longer. And September 15th is becoming a harder and harder deadline for Senator Max Baucus, chairman of the Finance Committee, to get these Republicans on board and get a deal.
We've had other deadlines with healthcare reform that have kind of blown by, though.
They're dead. Alex, I can't resist. We got just a few seconds. Is this going to be pageantry and history before the joint session of Congress next week, or is Obama jumping the shark?
absolutely, it's going to be pageantry in history. This is what Obama is good at. And if he succeeds here, he will have reformulated this debate. And by the way, there are three things that the Democrats have to hope for here. One is bipartisan. That's the best.
Two.
The worst is nothing. And so better for the Democrats to push it through on their own.
What a pro.
Alan Lichtman, professor of history at American University. Also, J. Newton Small, thanks for coming. She's a Washington reporter for Time magazine.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.